This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
They finally had the offensive performance we've been waiting, five, 10 years for? At least the whole season.
Okay, I've got some tweets confirming that people can indeed hear us, which...
That's good. It's progress.
Got people listening, which is a... Which feels good. Nate Geary, Joe DiBiase here. I just got one of my tweets liked by Ray Finkel. So,
who's that? Who?
I said Ray Finkel.
Ray Finkel?
Do you not know who Ray Finkel is?
Should I know who Ray Finkel is?
Kyle, do you know who Ray Finkel is?
Not the faintest clue.
Wait, what?
Not the faintest clue.
Are you guys friggin' kidding me?
No, who's Ray Finkel?
Laces out, Dan. Am I not kidding you guys at all here? It's from Ace Ventura.
Yeah, I never saw it.
You have not.
I was not a big Jim Carrey guy.
Guys, have neither of you seen Ace Ventura, Pet Detective?
Kyle?
More of a Bruce Almighty guy.
That's the
best Jim Carrey movie.
Shooketh. I cannot believe.
That's not a word.
Guys, are you kidding me right now, Joe?
I've never seen Ace Ventura.
You've never seen.
There's a lot of famous movies I've never seen.
You've never seen Forrest Gump. And you've never seen...
Well, no, I have now seen Forrest Gump.
And what'd you think?
It's good.
I'm shook that you have not seen Ace Ventura. It was maybe the most important movie of my
childhood.
All right,
I'll put it on the list. Right after Caddyshack and the whole list that we've been over a million times. So, yeah.
All right, so do you want to talk about the game?
Yeah, I'm ready to talk about the game. I am...
My opening monologue today just included me being mad at you for never watching Ace Ventura, which I think is...
The only thing
I could really be mad about today.
Yeah, I was going to say, what else can you really be mad at except maybe the Bills special teams?
Which yeah.
Continues and to I tried, be a and big I, whoa on the
well,
squad.
Well, I tried to make a point in Countdown to Kickoff this morning that they have actually risen from the basement of the league in DVOA and special teams from 32nd to 23rd since their last week or their week 5 matchup against the Dolphins earlier in the year. And Danny Crossman, the revenge tour continues.
The Danny Crossman revenge game. No, I'm very happy and I'm very impressed with today's performance. And I don't want to make any determining judgments on what this offense is for the season as a whole. But what today does do for me is prove that they are at least capable of having this type of performance we've been waiting to see out of them all year. Because they've had how many opportunities to do it? How many poor defenses have they played? How many bad teams have they played where you kept thinking to yourself, all right, the defense keeps playing great. The defense has won them games. When's the offense really going to step up and have a monster type of day? And it hadn't happened. They got to 30 points one time against this same Dolphins team, and little asterisks on that because Micah Hyde returned a onside kick for a touchdown. Little fluky. Actually, very fluky.
Incredibly fluky. I don't think I've ever seen anything like it, actually.
And then today... It's like, all right, this is like maybe your last chance to do this. Against a poor team, can you prove you're capable of having a big day offensively? Because here comes Denver with a good defense coming up, and here comes the Cowboys with an all right defense, and then the Patriots with the top defense in football. Pittsburgh's got a really good defense. Baltimore held Houston to, what, 7 points today? Like, held Deshaun Watson to, I don't know what his exact stats were. All I know is he had 4 fantasy points, killed me in a couple of leagues. So there's the Ravens defense you got coming up on the schedule. And you don't have all these gimme games on the way. Can you at least prove against the poor teams that you can have a great day offensively? They did it. And it was because, like, Allen was pretty accurate almost all day. Like, there were a couple of throws I think he'd want back, like Frank Gore and a swing pass. Those are way behind him. Kills a drive. There was a couple other options like that where he misfired, threw it. There was almost an interception. John Brown on a comeback route that he threw way too far to the right. But for the most part, like, he was hitting guys. He was hitting guys in stride. He was seeing them. I have no complaints about the quarterback after today at all.
Anything change for you today or no? I don't think Listen, I can't take – right, has your mind –
you know what it is? All the conversations we've had this week and, like, we had this morning, which has mostly been, like, how good is this quarterback actually? Like, I did a show on the Nightcap on, I think, Tuesday that I maybe got more calls than any show I've ever done. And it was just, when do you think you know what Josh Allen is? Like, that's what the conversation was. That hasn't gone away for me, but today maybe hits pause on that for at least a little bit longer. Because even though he didn't get cracked 300 yards, what do you have four total touchdowns today? Three passing, one rushing?
Yeah.
Like, at the very least, what Allen did today was he hit pause on all the discussions that we were having in the last week.
Yeah, I just wanted to see the offense put it together for four quarters. And I think they didn't take the foot off the gas, right? I mean, they kept the pedal to the floor, and they were passing in the fourth quarter with 7 minutes remaining. I saw a lot of good things, and hey, you know, with Brian Daboll up in the press box, he gets a little bit better vantage
point. Don't you
really
think that mattered?
I do.
You do think it mattered?
Okay. I do think it's a very different.
Yeah.
It's a different feel for the offensive coordinator.
That's the thing that, like, fans bring up a lot, and I kind of, like, instinctually I want to roll my eyes at it, but maybe I shouldn't just assume that it doesn't matter at all. Because they did it for a reason, and maybe it's not a coincidence that the first game he's up in the booth was easily their best offensive game of the season. Like, easily. And I know Miami's not a strong team, but they did a good job. Like, I think you have to give them credit.
I like this. I just saw a tweet that I wanted to get out. It's not anything Bills related, but Lamar Jackson becomes first man to walk on Mars. Three dudes with no AV on their Twitter. Okay, but he's going to get hurt on his way back to Earth. I liked that. Did you like it or no?
No, I didn't.
Okay. All right. Well,
I saw another tweet, though, that was distracted by Joe off to a start with a huge L, not knowing Ray Finkel.
Yeah. There's no doubt. I don't know. I'm sure anybody that is currently listening probably just turned the radio.com app right off after they found out you don't know who Ray Finkel is. Finkel and Einhorn. Einhorn.
How
Finkel,
many people?
Finkel, Einhorn. Einhorn. Finkel.
I don't think as many people as you think. Oh, that's. I'm playing a fantasy team actually this week that's Finkel and Einhorn, and I had no idea. Like, whatever. I didn't know what it was. Thought it was a reference. I knew it was a reference to something.
What it is?
I'm
is
beating
it's,
them, by the way.
It's a
so
referendum
I'm beating.
Of you.
I'm beating a fantasy football team that's nicknamed after Ray Finkel.
And now you know
today.
The context, so I'm glad.
Yeah. All right, perfect. A lot of Finkel going on in my day today.
In your feed, hopefully, and there's a lot of angry
yeah,
people out
I'm
there.
I'm getting some tweets.
Yeah, as you should. 716-803-1520, the number to call if you want to get your thoughts in about this Bills game. Please.
We're begging you.
Just begging you for phone calls. Even if you want to just talk about Ace Ventura, I'm fine with it.
Ace Ventura?
Yes, that's
the
movie.
I don't really want to talk about
it. For
the
love of God, it's the movie.
I don't really want to talk about Ace Ventura.
Kyle, there's a call! Get it! Yeah, so 803-1520, the number's the call. The Bills with a big, and I'll call it big because it's big for a couple reasons. I think offensively, this is a unit. Devin Singletary had 15 carries in the game for 75 yards, averaging 5 yards a carry again for the second time, which...
Get him the ball.
Get him the ball. Keep
Get him
giving
the ball
it to
him. More and more. Do not... I mean, finally, 15 carries, 75 yards. Like, he cannot not average over 4.5, 5 yards a carry.
John Brown. Career day for John Brown. 9 catches, 137 yards, 2 touchdowns, and
14 targets, by the way.
14 targets.
He had almost half the targets on the team.
And he had 66% of the yardage output from the Bills.
Some stuff in stride, too, today, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, everything seemed to be working with him.
And the other thing, too, I kind of look at with this matchup with John Brown, he had 7 catches for, like, 115 yards against press.
Really? I mean, he was going up against an undrafted rookie corner almost all day, but, like, in a way, you should expect that he's going to abuse a corner like that.
Sure.
And he definitely abused that corner today.
Let's go to the phones. Christian, you're going to have to bring Christian up. Christian, do I got you?
Yes, sir. Yes, you do.
What's Love up? It. You're on the Overtime Show with Nate and Joe. Thank you for calling.
Oh, no problem. I'm calling all the way from Ohio, the Buckeye State.
Love it. What do you got for us, man?
Yeah, I like Isaiah McKenzie a lot as a player, but I don't think he really does much from week to week. I mean, they run a lot of misdirection and everything, but they really don't use him for more than a couple gadget plays. And, I mean, I'd rather have Duke Williams playing on the outside because he's only like 5'9" and really can't get up there. And if you're going to run like misdirection plays, Andre Roberts got the speed. Use him on misdirections. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like McKenzie and all, but I think Duke would be well served because they're going to start doubling John Brown. We got Dawson Knox and Croft for the middle of the field, Beasley for the middle of the field. We need somebody on the other side. I'll listen to you guys.
Thanks for the call, Christian. Joe, I know you are going to disagree with this. I think Isaiah McKenzie plays a pretty important role in the offense. You know, a lot of people don't want to see Patrick DeMarco on the field. And Patrick DeMarco, for the most part, the fullback position in general, can help young quarterbacks identify whether a team's running man or zone pre-snap. And what I think Isaiah McKenzie does for the run game is he stretches the defense and he forces the defense to pay attention to horizontal motions before the snap of the ball. Not only that, but he's getting 3 to 5 touches a game. And whether or not you think Duke Williams should be in the game or not, Duke Williams, you know, he definitely brings something that no other receiver on the team does. And to be frank, I don't think Isaiah McKenzie is a guy that's got to go out of the lineup. If you're not going to use Robert Foster, then just put Duke Williams in the game.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I mean, I like McKenzie as a player. I think that he should have a part in this offense. My biggest qualm with his role is less so like the amount, the volume of snaps that he plays. If it were me, I'd only really ever play 4 wide receivers on this team on a consistent basis. It'd be Brown, Beasley, Foster, and McKenzie. Like, those would be the 4 that I would trust the most to make big plays on this team. So I'm okay with the way they're using McKenzie right now. I think there is a lot to be said about the misdirection and the horizontal motion because really, he is kind of the only aspect of their offense that they have that with. Like, it's different. Like, you see the Rams offense, not so much this year, it's not working as much. But for years, like, every receiver would always be running behind the quarterback in rushing attempts or on play-action fakes. Like, the Chiefs do the same thing. It's just a ton of misdirection. And the Bills don't do that a ton, but they do it with Isaiah McKenzie when he's on the field. So I like that aspect that he brings this offense. And the guy does make plays. I just would like to see them try to find a way to utilize a wide receiver that was incredibly productive for them last year in Robert Foster, and that continues to not happen. Today, did he have a target? I'm not even sure. I saw him on the field in special teams. I'm not even sure he got any snaps on offense.
He did not have a target.
I see that now.
Did not have a target.
But you know what? Like, take what you can get, I guess. I wanted to see Foster get the ball more. I want to see Singletary get the ball more. Singletary's getting the ball more.
Yes.
I'll take that right now because, to me, that's more important. I think he might be the most... He might be the best playmaker on the team when he has the ball in open space. Like, it's hard. Maybe McKenzie you could throw into that. Maybe John Brown. Like, they don't really use Brown in that role. But we continue to see Devin Singletary almost every time he gets the ball, he breaks off big plays for chunk yardage.
Yeah.
And again, this was a problem I had last week, and this week was a little bit different because you were up big, you were comfortable, and some of Gore's carries came at the end. But again, the carry split cannot be as close as it's been the past couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
15 carries for Singletary today. I like that number, but I don't need 11 for Frank Gore. Like, give at least half of what Gore got and throw those on top of Singletary. Like, Sal made this point before the game today. Like, I don't think we need to see Devin Singletary have 20-plus touches a game. He's a rookie. You want to save... Like, I don't need to save him. Rookie running backs, like young running backs, they only have so long to play
right.
in this league anyway. Mm-hmm. Just go out and use him. He's clearly the best back on this team. 15 carries for 75 yards for Singletary, 11 carries for 27 for Gore. And that's like 3 games in a row you've had a similar stat line.
A very similar stat
so,
line.
So, yeah. I would like to see Singletary get the ball even more, but I'm happy that he at least got an uptick from last week. He doubled his carries from last week.
Area code is 716. It's 803-1520. 803-1520, the number to call if you want to talk a little bit about the Bills. Another player that I'd like to look back on, same draft class, same round as Josh Allen, Tremaine Edmonds, who over the course of after that Dolphins game, the Philadelphia game, and I thought at times last week he struggled, but the Philadelphia game, and then who was after Philadelphia that ran all over the Bills?
Washington.
They won. Washington.
Only really in the first half.
Only in the first half. And he struggled in the first half.
But it was a lot.
Tremaine Edmonds today, 12 tackles, half a sack, and a pass deflection and 2 quarterback hits. And I'm firmly on when Tremaine Edmonds is playing his best football. I'll take this back. When Edmonds and Milano are your 2 most consistent playmakers, I think this defense is going to be a top-end unit. And today, I also think the defensive line had an excellent day. 7 sacks against Ryan Fitzpatrick. But the thing I noticed, Joe, is how much more aggressive, like very aggressive, this Bills defense was today. They didn't really fear Ryan Fitzpatrick, and I wish they had that same sort of attitude from a schematic and game planning standpoint and an execution standpoint every week, because I don't want to see them just only blitz the hell out of the Miami Dolphins because of the Miami Dolphins, because it works, and teams do it against the Bills. I would like to see them this week against Denver, against a Brandon Allen, blitz the hell out of them. Blitz them. You have two guys in Matt Milano and Tremaine Edmonds who are really effective blitzers when they're set free. The problem is they haven't had a lot of opportunities. And you know what, though? We did just get a tweet in that the 15 carries for Devin Singletary probably end up being closer to 20 if he doesn't have 2 fumbles today. He ended up basically sitting the entire fourth quarter for the fumbles that he put on the ground. Neither were lost, but, you know.
But they very well could have been. I think he's really talented. I think he's really good. You mentioned, by the way, some of the defensive numbers and like how Tremaine Edmonds had a half sack. They were all over Fitz today. Like, we finally got, not only did we get finally a big performance from the pass or from the offense, but we got a big performance from the pass rush. Like, Jerry Hughes had a sack, I think. Did Star Latulé have a sack? First sack as a Bill. First sack as a Bill.
Is that true?
Yeah. Jesus. Star Latulé's first sack as a Bill. Shaq Lawson had a sack. Jerry Hughes had a sack. Corey Legit had a sack. Ed Oliver had a sack. Latulé had a sack. They had a ton of sacks today. 7 total for the team.
It's a good game defensively, that's for sure. Good game defensively for this defensive unit. Let's
Yes.
Let's cut to the locker room. And who do you want to hear from? I'd like to hear from Jordan Phillips, I think. So,
revenge game for Jordan Phillips.
Revenge game for Jordan Phillips. So time now to cut to the locker room. We'll hear from Jordan Phillips. It's brought to you by AJ's Tree Service, Western New York's number one tree care provider.
I mean, it was a great time. Didn't feel like we could do any wrong today. Everybody was flying around. Everybody was having fun. Everybody was playing free. That's Buffalo Bill football, you know what I mean?
We heard about Tremaine's message last night to the team.
I don't know how y'all heard about that so quick.
y'all got a bug in there? You know, how did that resonate and hit you?
I mean, Tremaine's a true leader. He not only says it, he goes out there and does it. He goes out there and plays hard, plays free. I look to him when I need guidance. You know, he's a young guy, but he's all over the place, and he's the leader of our defense.
What does it say about a young guy like that stepping up and kind of taking on a role? I mean, obviously, he's captain for a reason.
I mean, honestly, he didn't have a choice. He came in. I don't know what pick he was, but he's our starting linebacker. He's the quarterback of the defense, and he does a hell of a job.
Another game where, obviously, you're on the road. You see all those Bills fans out there. I saw you pumping them up again. You know, what does it mean to you to see that? These people coming out here, road trips, no matter how far they have to travel.
I mean, my mom sent me videos of Bills Mafia on Fort Lauderdale Beach yesterday. I knew what time it was going to be when we came to the game. Another home game. I was saying it while we were out there. Let's get these boys ready. Let's get the crowd going, and we're going to have a day.
Does it ever get old for you going up against your former team and having the success that you guys were able to defensively in terms of sacks?
I mean, like I said, it was just another game. I'm happy we got the win. On to the next one.
That was Bills defensive tackle Jordan Phillips. Going to take a quick timeout. On the other side, we will take your phone calls. 803-1520, the number to call. You can tweet at us at Nate Geary WGR, at Sneaky Joe. Is that it?
Just Joe WGR.
Sneaky Joe WGR.
You don't know my Twitter handle at this point? Yeah, we've only known each other for 30 years or whatever.
What's worse, not knowing a co-host's Twitter handle or never seeing Ace Ventura?
Definitely not knowing your co-host's Twitter handle.
Well,
thank you, Kyle.
Here's the thing, Kyle. You also haven't seen it, so where are you to even butt into this conversation?
How's your poll going? Monster. Didn't you just put a poll up?
And you're being eviscerated.
I know you guys like polls.
I am a big poll guy.
That's a drop right there.
You're being eviscerated. 325 votes. 80% says, yes, I'm not an idiot. Only 20% say, no, I'm Joe DiBiase.
That means 20% out there? That's a big number. What's 20% of 300? It's like 60 people.
That's correct.
I'm not a math guy, if you're
people.
Saying that.
Actually spot on.
If you're saying it, then I guess
well,
it,
you know, Nate doesn't
true.
Tip 20% now. That's how I got to that number real quick.
Depends on the service. If I have a good experience, I will pay upwards of 30%.
Maybe it's because I waited for a point in my life and that I'm automatically going to give at least 20%. It's like my floor.
You're just like
it's a tip floor.
You just have so much money, Joe. You're just loaded. All right. 803-1520, the numbers to call here on the Overtime Show on ESPN 1520.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, it was zone coverage, and, you know, the safety kind of got out of his area. Josh did a great job looking them off and hit a nice hole shot.
It's Bills receiver John Brown coming off of his best game as a Buffalo Bill. 9 catches in this game for 137 yards and 2 touchdowns. Welcome into the Overtime Show here on ESPN 1520. Nate Geary here, Joe DiBiase. It's presented by Rudlinski Meats, a trusted name in Western New York for over 60 years. Tomorrow on our sister station, WGR Sports Radio 550, it's Buffalo Bills Football Monday, presented by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you. Howard and Jeremy break the game down with you in the morning. Then it's the Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio from 10 to noon, followed by One Bills Live with John Murphy, Steve Tasker at noon, Show Up and Bulldog at 3. It'll have safety Micah Hyde at 4, and Monday Night Football, Westwood One presents Chiefs at Chargers at 7:30. Buffalo Bills Football Monday, all day tomorrow on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. What do you got?
Also tomorrow, 5:30 with Show Up and the Bulldog, Michael Irvin.
Nice. Nice.
So tune in for that, too.
Yeah. Nice. Very nice, Michael Irvin.
It's a week early, because I know the Thanksgiving Bills game against Dallas is next week, or 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks, week and a half, whatever. Next week's Broncos week.
Next week is Broncos week. And, you know, the Broncos blew a 20-point lead today, up 20-0 over the Minnesota Vikings. They end
still
up losing.
They almost won, though, at the end. The last
they did
drive,
almost win at the end.
Brandon Allen converts, I think, 3, if not even 4, fourth-down conversions. You know, he's looking like a lot of the backup quarterbacks in the league this year, like competent at times. But I think about next week a lot in that, like, this is – I feel like their offense is – obviously hindered in what they have at quarterback, but more talented at the rest of the positions than what they've had against in the last couple games. Like, more talented than Miami, more talented than Washington, especially. So, like, what is that combination actually equal to? Like, this will be more of a test for the Bills' offense, obviously, than I think it will be for their defense.
You know, the thing, too, is today. So, and the reason I'm glad the performance that we saw today happened. Obviously, there's a lot of reasons to be glad for it, but a lot of people, and I don't know how many people here watched any of that New York Jets and Washington game. You'll end up seeing highlights and you'll see box score stats that Sam Darnold threw 4 touchdowns today and against a Washington Redskins team that isn't good. And the Bills offense struggled at times against that Washington Redskins team. So their performance today against the Miami Dolphins, who, by the way, beat the New York Jets 2 weeks ago, I think it was really important for some of the narratives that have been going around. And listen, we understand that. Here's another thing about Josh Allen and the whole conversation about Josh Allen. I think you can both like the player, think he will be good, and still right now say I need more from Josh Allen. And I know it seems like everyone has to pick a side. You either don't think he's going to succeed or you think he's going to succeed, and then you kind of just point across the aisle and tell each other how stupid you are. It's sort of like, you know what I feel like? And maybe you'll actually get this reference because I think you've seen the show, but the Palestinian chicken episode.
Watched it the other day. Great episode.
Where, you know, Larry is kind of in between of the new Palestinian chicken place that opens right next to a Jewish deli. And on the left side, all of the Jewish people that frequent the deli are picketing on the Palestinians opening it next door, and the Palestinians are yelling at the Jewish people kind of back and forth. And Larry David is just kind of, it's the famous gif that everyone has anyone seen about Larry David. It's, if you've never seen a Larry David GIF, this is the only one you've ever seen. And it's just him kind of going, like he doesn't know which side to choose because he loves the chicken and the woman that owns the restaurant happens to be his girlfriend. And on the other side are all his friends and Susie, who is just the absolute worst from the show. And that's kind of how I've felt this year about Josh Allen is I understand a lot of what some of the people on the left are saying, where they're like, you know, this is a young quarterback making his 21st start or whatever it is. And this is an offense that has 9 new starters on the offensive line or just on the offense in general. And this is also a team, right, that coming from last season into this year was the 32nd ranked 31st, I think they ended in offense because Josh Allen had a few nice games at the end of the year that sort of brought up those statistics. But this is an offense that had a lot of similar statistics to the Miami Dolphins coming into this game. And we talked about that during pregame, Joe. And it's nice to see them come together. And not only that, but this was a good game from Brian Daboll. I thought maybe Brian Daboll's best called football game. And it's not, I don't think it's a surprise that because of Brian Daboll's coaching ability today that you saw Josh Allen play his best game. I think in concert, those two, when they're working together and they're both doing well, you're seeing a product on the field of an offense that can score points. I mean, they doubled, Joe, their season output in points per game. They, I think, had over 100 yards of their average output of yards per game this year. So this is a team right now that you're looking at that had significant improvements in areas that we've all been questioning them on, like their consistency, their ability to beat teams through the air, their defense, and their ability to stop the run. I mean, Kalen Ballage, Ballage got nothing today. I think he had 8 yards or something. At one point, he had 6 carries for no yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, he did not end up with much. And they basically did everything that they were supposed to do today. Like, I think we've kind of been waiting for that game that I think Jeremy talked about this morning. Like, where's that win with style points? They've had the wins, they've had comfortable wins, but where's that win with style points? And they really came out and they did that today. They made you think, not only are we just better than these bad teams, but we are significantly better than these bad teams. The score, honestly, like, they won by 17. The score should have been even more wider than that. Think about how the Dolphins scored points. It's
special
on
teams.
Plays, like they scored points on plays that don't currently exist in the NFL. There's hardly any kickoff returns left in the league. They scored a kickoff return. When's the last time you saw an onside kick be attempted and made? Now, I know they caught him by surprise and that was part of it, but holy cow with that one. And then is there another play I'm missing? What's their other scoring play? The Dolphins. They had a good drive. They had the one good drive down the field where Ballage punches it in. But for the most part, like, you had some fluky plays that Miami... Oh, I'm thinking of the kick return. Oh,
right.
I already said that.
Yeah.
You had some fluky plays, I think, that made this game look even closer than it was. I think the Bills dominated Miami all day. Like, Fitzpatrick was running for his life. They were dominating the Dolphins' offensive line, both in the pass rush and in run defense. Ed Oliver had his best game as a pro, easily. He was doing a good job in run defense, and he was not getting swallowed up by interior offensive linemen like he normally has this season on pass rushes. Then you had the Bills' offense basically doing almost whatever they wanted on the Miami defense. And that's how it should be. Because even though they're not the most talented team on offense ever, like the way I've always put it is they have a bunch of B guys. Like John Brown's like a B-plus receiver to me, like a great number two. Cole Beasley, like a B guy. Like they don't have a lot of elite players on offense, but they have pretty good guys. And when those types of players get matched up against an underwhelmingly not talented team like Miami on defense, you should have days like you did today. And we've been waiting for that. And maybe it took too long, but they did finally have it.
803-1520, the numbers to call. Going to cut to the locker room here, and we're going to hear from John Brown. So time to cut to the locker room to hear from John Brown. It's brought to you by AJ's Tree Service, Western New York's number one tree care provider.
Josh just made great reads and, you know, good decisions.
John, we heard Sean's message earlier in the week was play fearless. Was that what we display here this afternoon?
Oh, yes, most definitely, you know, to play fearless. And, you know, Tremaine, you know, he gave a speech yesterday. And, you know, it was time to show them what we can do.
They elected to have an undrafted rookie shadow you to start the game. Were you kind of looking at that and saying, okay, we have opportunities here to, you know, kind of do some things on him?
No, I wasn't surprised at all. But if you look at the film, like, the dude can really play. You know, he's pretty good, you know. I got so much respect for him, but, you know, you got to challenge on people sometimes, and, you know, I played pretty good, and, you know, he made a few plays.
When he went out hurt, did that change their coverage scheme at all, or did they kind of play the same way throughout?
They kind of changed the coverage scheme.
What was the gist of what Tremaine said to you guys yesterday?
Oh, you know, it's just time for us to, you know, play our game and, you know, play fast and leave no doubt behind.
What was the reaction? What was the feeling you guys had after listening to all that?
Oh, you know, everybody was, you know, amped up and ready to go.
Is that unusual for, I know he's a captain, but or a second-year guy, a middle linebacker guy who runs the defense, is that still unusual for the guy that young to be stepping up for the team like that?
Yeah, most definitely. You barely hear Tremaine talk, so, you know, I was kind of, like, shocked by that.
Is it more special for you to do it here in Miami, your hometown?
No, not at all. You know, I'm, you know, wherever I play at, I play at. But, you know, I had like 40 kids in the stands, you know, with all A's, you know, to get them motivation. And, you know, I'm glad I was able to play good in front of them and, you know, able to get them hope.
What was that? Where were the kids from? What was it?
You know, all over Miami, you know, anybody I have that was friends on Facebook with me. Kids had, you know, all A's. You know, I got like 40 tickets to the game.
With the first touchdown down the sideline there, John, did you just separate, or was that a zone coverage that they were in there?
Yeah, it was zone coverage, and you know, the safety kind of got out of his area, and you know, Josh did a great job looking them off and hit a nice hole shot.
That's Bills receiver John Brown, and a couple of quick stats. Arceo Capaccio tweeted out, the Bills' Josh Allen over his last five games, 8 passing touchdowns, 4 rushing touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Since the Patriot game in week 4, Allen has 10 passing touchdowns to 1 interception.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good. I would call that improvement. I'm really looking forward to that matchup against the Patriots at the end of the season. I'm looking forward to that matchup, and I'm really looking forward to the Dallas. And listen, Dallas, Baltimore, New England. Mm-hmm. I think you've got to win one of those games.
Dallas, Baltimore, New England.
I think Dallas is
do
the
you
most
have
beatable.
To win one?
Yes.
What to do? What? What like to do? What to make the playoffs? What are we talking about? To prove that we're actually a legitimately good team.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they have to win one to make the playoffs.
No.
I think you just got to beat Pittsburgh to make the playoffs and then win the other games you should. They really, to make the playoffs, they got to beat Denver, they got to beat Pittsburgh, and they got to beat the Jets. That gets them to 10 wins, which according to the New York Times playoff machine would give them like a 98.5% chance to make the postseason.
Here's the thing,
but
though.
I think I understand. I think if you mean, like, if they want to prove they're a legitimate team,
yeah,
like a legitimately good team, like they're better than the Tennessees of the world, the Jacksonvilles of the world.
Right.
Then I agree with you. You got to win one of those games. Because here's the thing. They're 7-3. Have they won? They have not won a game yet that they shouldn't. Have won. Like, what game did they go into people thinking they were a big underdog and they surprised everybody?
But they should have won last week.
But even that
simply
game,
put,
would
they
that, would
should it, have won last week.
Would that? But that's that, the same thing. That's not a game that's like you're going into it and everyone's like, well, I don't think the Bills are winning this game. Like, they were an underdog, but, like, those three teams that you just mentioned, that's something different. Dallas
is a beatable football team.
The most beatable of those three. But that is on Thanksgiving. That's, mm-hmm. like, the prime Thanksgiving mm-hmm. game. Like, everybody's sitting down to dinner to watch that yeah. game around the country. Mm-hmm. And you're the only show on TV right there. So there's that one. The New England one, same thing. Like, you're the show right there. Like,
you are. You're Saturday 4 o'clock game. Yeah.
So, in a way, those challenges kind of present something even more where if you want to gain respect around the league, those two games even add on to that. But I will, like, Baltimore for sure is included in that. Because if they beat Baltimore, even if it's at home, the way they've looked, they smoked Houston today.
I think
that was crazy that they won by that much.
I think keeping,
that's impressive.
I think keeping a game close with Baltimore is probably just as good as a win. You lose a game by a possession to Baltimore, I feel really good about that game. I think Baltimore White might be one of the best teams in football. And I'll tell you what.
Are we still in this
the
position?
The most
we're
underrated
about like
and
that?
Untalked about trade that absolutely changed what Baltimore was about was trading for Marcus Peters. It was a huge, huge moment for them. And it's changed the way their defense plays because he has 2 pick sixes since being traded over. 803-1520, the numbers to call. If you want to get in on the overtime show, Nate Geary, Joe DiBiase, you're going to take a quick timeout on the other side. We'll continue taking your calls, tweets, and talk about another Bills victory to go to 7-3 for the first time since 1999 on ESPN 1520.
He was like, man, I'm here with you. You know what I'm saying? I trust you. You know, just protect the ball. You know, forget about that. You know what I'm saying? It happened, but protect the ball. You're going to be good. It's a learning experience.
That is Devin Singletary there. Welcome back to the Overtime Show, brought to you by Rudlinski Meats, a trusted name in Western New York for over 60 years. Nick Geary, Joe DiBiase here with you after a solid Bills victory, 37-20 over the Miami Dolphins to take the season sweep of the Dolphins. Time now to cut to the locker room. We're going to hear from Devin Singletary. It's brought to you by AJ's Tree Service, Western New York's number one tree care provider.
Reason why you went with that?
When I was able to get out of the number 40, I went with the first thing that was open.
Devin, just a little bit on today. Looks the first run of the game, 22 yards. How much does that kind of help you set the tone for yourself and the offense running the ball after that?
That helped us, set the tone a lot. You know, the guys up front, they got a good push. So I was able to, like you said, get that 22-yard run. But, I feel like, that was a statement, coming out early, getting going.
When you see Josh is dialed in and he seemed most of the game, what does that do for you guys? Not just moving the ball, but confidence-wise, huddle and everything.
That's major when you see your general, your leader out there. He's locked in, he's focused. So, of course, we're going to feed off that energy.
I know you put the ball on the ground a couple of times. What was the message from Coach, after that happened?
Yeah, he was like, man, I'm here with you. You know what I'm saying? I trust you. Just protect the ball. Forget about that. It happened, but protect the ball. You're going to be good. It's a learning experience.
And then for him to put you back in the game shows you that faith, right?
Definitely. Coach definitely had faith in me today. I feel like I kind of let him down because I put the ball on the ground twice.
That was Devin Motor Singletary there following the football game. Tonight on ESPN 1520, Westwood One presents the Bears at the Rams at 8 p.m. Sunday Night Football on ESPN 1520 is brought to you by New York's Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case and buy Armor Heat. Do it right the first time.
Patriots are winning.
Yeah, they are. They're just such a beatable football team. It's unreal. They're just so beatable, and nobody can just seem to.
Well, nobody can score them.
I know, but their defense really just. I don't know what it is about their defense. They don't really have great talent. Their scheme is really good.
I think that there's a reason to think that they're a little bit better than. They're showing to be a little bit better than they actually are because they are very opportunistic. Like, they are getting turnovers at an unsustainable margin.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yet they've done it for 10 games.
They've done it for a
while. We thought that about the Bills in 2017, that they were getting turnovers at an unsustainable margin. But that kind of continued, and that really fueled them to get into the playoffs. So really, think about it that way. One of the biggest factors the Bills made the playoffs in 2017 was turnovers. The Patriots have what they normally have, plus they have that added on top. So I kind of agree with you. Like, they are beatable in a way, but when you keep getting turnovers and they keep playing defense like this, if they play defense like that, I don't think they're beatable. You'd have to have a great offensive performance to even put up like 20 points on them, it seems right now. And Nate's mad because Oakland at the goal line.
I'm big mad. I just need one touchdown from Josh Jacobs. One.
What we need is Oakland to go to 5-5.
I don't care what happened. Cincinnati's not winning this football game,
Wild it is what it is. What do you mean? They're down four.
803-1520, the number to call. We've only had one caller, maybe. Christian. Thank you so much, Christian, for helping us out. Anyone else out there on the radio.com app?
This went from begging to now, like, he's ready to
now
threaten.
I'm pleading.
You're pleading?
I'm pleading. I heard almost threat.
Yeah,
I'm almost threatening.
We're almost a threat.
I'm almost to threatening level. I will quit if somebody doesn't. I'm going to pull the Ryan Gates.
You're
right now.
Quit if nobody calls.
I will quit if nobody calls.
Then people are definitely not going to call.
Yeah, I know. They will literally boycott me. 803-1520, at Nate Geary WGR, at Sneaky Joe WGR. If you want to get any tweets in at us, we'll get them on air here as we continue the Overtime Show on ESPN 1520.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.